Well, thank you for tuning in to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck at my side. And Kent, it's great to have you here. We're coming to you from Herb's House, which is in Dallas, Texas. It's a coffee shop. And actually, this is Herb right here. So. So thank you for joining us. I want you to take your Bible, turn with us to Exodus chapter 20. And we're looking at the Ten Commandments. And to this point, we have looked at the first four of the Ten Commandments, but there's still just a little bit more meat on the bone on this fourth commandment that I want to look at, and it's in verse 9, and the title of this devotion is Do Your Job, okay? So Exodus 20, verse 9, God says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, this part of the fourth commandment is easily overlooked because the preceding verse says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But what is more than interesting, what is compelling, is how God commends hard work. That's a virtue, to be a hardworking person, to put your shoulder to the plow and to do your work that the Lord has given you to do. And here, obviously, he's talking about occupational work, vocational work, and there is a glory that we bring to God by doing our labor. So I want us to look at this. He just starts off saying, 6 days you shall labor. So very clearly, he's saying 1 out of 7 days is to be a day of rest and a day of worship for the Lord. But the other 6 days, we are to do our work and to labor hard. And the word labor here really carries the idea, in fact, it's used later in the book of Genesis, to cultivate the land like you're a farmer and you're plowing the field and you're tilling the soil, planting the seed. And so there is a glory to be brought to God as we do our labor. And then he says, and do all your work. So in other words, don't be half-hearted. Always do your work as unto the Lord. And Paul will say that in Ephesians chapter 6. And so we're never to do a half job. I can remember my father saying, any job worth doing is a job worth doing well. So when he would give me assignments at the house, he was drilling into me that if you're going to do a particular project, then you need to be all in doing it. And that's the idea of do all your work. Don't leave anything undone. Don't leave anything on the table. And there is a negative and a positive aspect of this. And it really begins with the heart. But the negative side of this is it really condemns laziness, slothfulness, procrastination, having an entitlement mentality that society is supposed to take care of me. I'm not going to do my work. That the government's going to take care of me. I don't have to go out and get a job. I can get more money from the government than if I went out and worked. So I'm just not going to work. And that is really a blatant disobedience to what God is saying here. Now, there are people who are physically handicapped who cannot work, and that is not addressing that here. And there are people when they reach a certain age, they physically can't do what they once could do. However, this is condemning idleness. It's been well said, idleness is the devil's workshop. You just have way too much time on your hands. And you're getting in trouble because if you were working hard, you wouldn't have the energy or the time to be going off in other directions, which leads to these other things, murder, adultery, stealing. You've got too much time on your hands. Now, the positive of this is you're very much like God when you work because God is a working God. We read at the beginning of Genesis, the first 6 days of the week, God worked. And on the seventh, he rested as an example to us of the rhythm of life that there ought to be. However, God, every moment of every day, is working. He's upholding the universe. He's answering prayer. He's directing the affairs of providence. He's opening doors, closing doors, saving souls. I mean, every minute, every second, God is at work. Now, God in His goodness has allowed us to have sleep, and He's allowed us to have a day off. But what this is commending is that there is a glory to be brought to God for us to do our work wholeheartedly. So if you work in an office, you need to give your all to God, to your employer, and it's a means by which you provide for your family and also provide to have something to give to those who cannot work. So, Kent, that kind of puts a bow around this verse that I was wanting us to talk about.
Well, I think that a lot of people listening would have a number of questions, and I think one would be that hits me is that, you know, our wives, some of our wives don't have an actual job where they have to go, and the question would first be asked, well, if I don't have a job to go to, do I still have work?
Oh, absolutely. Great question, Kent. Yeah. No, our wives work hard at home. In fact, if we were to flip-flop this and we were to be in charge of the house and we were to be in charge of whatever is involved in that, if it even involves children, if it involves writing checks, keeping up with the bills, if that involved maintenance issues at the house, we would say, oh, my word, my job is so much easier than having to be in charge of everything else. So, no, my wife is maybe the hardest working person I know.
Yeah,
I mean, she's running circles around me, and I'm a hard worker.
Yeah.
So, no, women have a God-given assignment. Mm-hmm. That those who choose to stay at home and are homemakers, mm-hmm. that's a glory that they bring to the Lord as they care for their children and their home.
The second question that comes to my mind, I think a lot of our viewers would be thinking about, okay, I don't have a job. I'm out of a job. I'm between jobs. What do I do? And I think in that question, Steve, is there a potential problem when you're out of a job to maybe be slack?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe not work hard enough when you're out of a job. I don't know.
Well, when you're in between jobs and you're looking for that next job, mm-hmm. you need to be working while you're looking for work.
So that needs to be your job.
That's your job, is to find a job, but also, and these circumstances differ from person to person, but there are jobs that you can pick up. Mm-hmm. Whether it's to be an Uber driver, whether it's to mow yards, mm-hmm. whether it is to offer yourself mm-hmm. to someone and you can pay me what you want to pay me. Nevertheless, you need to be continually working, though your point is well made. Your job is to find a job. But what we would say is you're not to sit there and watch SportsCenter all day.
Uh-huh.
You're not to just sit there and wait for the phone to ring
mm-hmm.
For someone to get back with you as you've mm-hmm. sent out your resumes. No, I mean, you need to be out there on the, beating the doors and on the street looking and mm-hmm. searching, and as well as maybe having a job on the side while you're looking and continuing to provide for your wife.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so I think the next category, Steve, that hits me is we do have people who have retired. Sometimes companies say, you know, if you retire in your late 50s or early 60s or whatever, and they're still productive people, but they've worked there all their lives and they retire.
Yeah.
What would be your counsel to people who are retired?
Yeah, John Piper wrote a book a number of years ago, Don't Waste Your Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read it.
Which has had a great impact on lots of people mm-hmm. that don't retire and go to Florida, sit on a beach mm-hmm. and look for seashells.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to be productive at the end of your life. And either you need to have a second career or you need to get plugged into a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get plugged into your church. Mm-hmm. You need to be a bell cow in your church and leading the way and serving others and giving your life away, not just being in a passive mode. of really just enjoying yourself, there'll be greater enjoyment in investing your life either in another job or really in ministry and serving the Lord. So, Kent, you and I have talked about this. I don't see us really ever retiring in the sense that we're just going to do nothing. I don't think I can do nothing. Our shoulder's going to be the plow, and we're going to be doing something that God has put in front of us to do. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I pray that this is a blessing, is a challenge, is an encouragement to you. So please join us for our next edition of Steadfast Hope.